G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
This is Andrew McLennan. In a world that seems to be unraveling with wars, rumors of wars, terror attacks and political instability at every turn, more bad news about kidnappings and hostages taken, this time from northern Nigeria. On Thursday, the 7th of March this year, more than 200 children were taken from the primary and secondary schools in a village in Kaduna State, northern Nigeria. Thankfully, Open Doors monitors and keeps a track of these events. And Steve Swanson from Open Doors joins me now. Steve, welcome.
Thanks, Andrew. Great to be with you.
Yeah, like I said, Steve, not a great topic to talk about today, but it's important that we make everybody aware of what's going on. Africa is often forgotten, I think, in the news, but this is a significant event. 200 children snatched from their primary and secondary schools.
Yeah, and it's really against the backdrop of a nation that is one of the most persecuted places in the world to be a Christian. There is a population of 222 million people in Nigeria, and surprisingly, 46% of that population are Christian, but there is a rise of Islamic militant activity, which is, as we have seen in recent times, making a big impact on people for the worst.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, I think it's one in five black people in the world are Nigerian. It's the most populous black nation in the world by far, certainly in Africa. And it seems to be a hotspot, doesn't it, for Islamic activity in the north, as well as strong Christian activity in the south.
Yeah, yeah. And really, I guess when you have, I mean, it's a clash of the kingdoms in the spiritual sense. And we know that in the long run, God prevails. But in the midst of the persecution and trials that they face now, we need to stand with our persecuted brothers and sisters, pray that God would strengthen them and be with them in these troubled times.
Yeah, and as I said, Kaduna State is in the north of Nigeria. I've been to Kaduna State. I've been to Kaduna a couple of times, and it's a beautiful part of the world. But the Christians up there are a minority. Mm. And have we had any more information from these kids that were snatched from these schools?
Well, the best understanding that I have of the current situation is that they're still looking for them. They were herded off into the forest. They were whipped with horse whips. Some of the children were able to escape and were able to come back and give some information, but really they were trekked for hours through the scorching heat and they're still looking for them.
Yeah, it sounds very similar to when the girls were abducted all those years ago, and yeah. Even Barack Obama's wife, Michelle, was trying to start the campaign, bring our girls home, but it all eventuated to nothing, I think. The girls were never found again, were never heard of again, and it's not looking good here, is it?
No, well, there's so much forest there, and the forest will take weeks for them to search. But you're right, it reminds us of the many times. I mean, my understanding is on average there's 10 people a week that are abducted, but in recent times it's been larger groups of people. So the incident you're talking about was on the 7th of March, and around the same time in Borno, there was 200 women and children that were already displaced by conflict who were collecting firewood, and the same thing happened, 200 of them taken. And we just don't hear about that much over here.
Mm.
But it's a sad state of affairs. And then even on the Saturday following the abduction on the Thursday, the Saturday following that, there was a further 15 children that were taken from a school as well. So it seems to be on the rise.
Yeah. And my understanding of the earlier one was that these girls are just taken as slaves. They're taken to cook. Basically become wives to the terrorists who live in the bush, in the forest, as you said. And looks like this is another example of that. But it does alert us all and raises the issue, the wider issue, which is that the persecution of Christians in Nigeria is significant, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's ongoing. And Open Doors, what are you, as an organization, how are you trying to help the situation?
So we work through partnership with local churches on the ground. We believe that God's placed the church in the world to be his hands and feet, and so we partner with local churches, whether that's through emergency relief or giving them the support that they need, particularly in this case and cases similar to this, to support the families that have still have children that are being held hostage. And, you know, there's certainly other Christian organizations that partner with us that advocate as well with government to release the hostages. And we just got to pray that that's successful.
Yeah, and is there any word yet from the Nigerian government? Have they made any statements about this or any announcements?
No, they're still waiting to hear. They've been pretty silent to this point. It seems that the rise of Boko Haram has really, the government, it's out of their control, or they just choose to not do anything. And I'm not on the ground there, but since the insurgency of Boko Haram since 2011, there's been over 37,500 people abducted. And it's not decreasing in its intensity, it's increasing.
Yeah, it's just terrible. And it sort of also raises a wider issue worldwide that obviously in Israel on October 7th, we had, I think it was 240 people kidnapped, hostages taken, and that the world's media and governments have been fixated on that situation. But here we've got 200 people taken, you know, as hostages in northern Nigeria, and it hardly makes a mention in the world media.
Yeah.
And it just shows what a messed up place this world is.
Yeah, well, when you think, again, as we alluded to before, it's not only just a clash of the natural, it's the supernatural kingdoms at odds. But if you think of Nigeria, it is the most dangerous place in the world and the most violent country in the world to follow Jesus. We've talked about the episode on the 7th of March where it was actually 280 were taken. Then on the 10th of March, there was another 15 taken. About the same time, there was 200 people, 200 women and children. And then we think back to 2014, there was over 250 taken in one hit. And then we go back to Dapchi back in 2018 on the 19th of February, and there was outcry across the world where those about 110 schoolgirls were taken. And to this day, after a month, I think 104 were returned. 5 died while they were on the first day that they were taken. But there is one young lady who still remains, Leah Sharibu, and she refused to renounce her faith. As they were putting them on the vans, they said, "Is there anyone who's a Christian here?"
Mm.
She chose to put her hand up, and she is. The captors have basically said that she is a slave for life because she chose to put a hand up and say, "I want to follow Jesus Christ and live for him." And so we pray for her safe return. We pray that God would strengthen her in the midst of that and her family who continue to pray and seek God for a miracle in that case. But yeah, you're right. We just don't know the enormity of it. And they're the ones we know about. I can imagine in such a vast population where they don't have the systems that we have here, there's many more we may not even know about.
Yeah, just what an amazing young girl, Hayter, staying strong in her faith like that and not deny Jesus, and but so heartbreaking too for a family to lose their daughter like that, and just awful.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, for us in the West who enjoy the freedoms that we do, it's very sobering when we think about in the world today, there is 365 million persecuted Christians. 1 in 7 Christians across the world are persecuted. So if you go to a church, I go to a church, your listeners attend a church on a Sunday with hundreds of people, we take the averages of people who aren't really persecuted. And I mean, persecution for us is our neighbor says, "Oh, you're a Christian freak," or "You're one of those born-againers." But for these beautiful people in these countries, for them, it's either what we call smash or squeeze. Smash is the violence that happens to them. But There's also the squeeze that we don't hear about. These are obviously very violent attacks, but for a lot of the people in countries like this, for them to follow Christ, it means that they no longer have access to education. Their children no longer have access to schooling. They no longer have access to jobs. They no longer have access to hospitalization. And so to count the cost to follow Christ means a whole lot different things in other countries than it does to us. So we must stand, and as a company of faith, it's not us and the persecuted church. The Bible says that we are one body. And so we need to adjust this side so that we can strengthen those who are in those other countries. So,
yeah, well said. So, which leads me to my next question, Steve. How can the average person, our listeners right now, what can they do to get more involved?
Okay, so there's numbers of ways to get involved, but obviously the first and most important thing that we can do here is to pray. There's no distance in prayer, and so when we pray here, God is not locked into space and time as we are. We are. He's outside of that, and so when we pray, we believe that God moves mightily in those places. And so I'd encourage the listeners to begin to pray specifically. When you hear stories like this, pray for Nigeria. Pray for the Christians there. Pray for the families that have lost loved ones or that have loved ones that are still held for ransom. Pray that God would strengthen them. And I know that this one's a hard pill to swallow too, but pray for the persecutors, that they would have an experience, an encounter with a living, loving God who would transform them from being the person who is persecuting to be the one that stands for Christ. And as we do that, as a company of faith of believers, we can see God move. But we will always have trouble while we're here on this earth. You know, there's some verses I wish weren't in the Bible. In this world, you will have trouble. You know, count it a sheer gift when you face tests and challenges. The church will thrive and prosper because it's God's church, and he will continue to grow the church, the bride of Christ. But in the midst of that, the best thing we can do is strengthen them through prayer and resource them, if at all you can. Find within your resource in times where it is financially tough here to even jump on the Open Doors website and make a one-off donation or a monthly donation to send resources to support the persecuted church across the world.
Yeah, great. And I'm guessing you have a monthly newsletter or something where you send out updates about what's going on in the persecuted church?
Yeah, we can send updates. We also have a three-monthly prayer calendar on our website. People can pray through. We give you guidance each day of different countries to pray for, what the need is in that country, and you can get together either in your own devotional time or with your friends in your prayer groups and begin to pray for that and update you. So jump online to the Open Doors website, opendoors.org.au.
opendoors.org.au, because I think it'd be, like you said, we're supposed to, Paul commanded us to remember those who are held in chains, to remember those who are in prison or being persecuted, even if we just got those newsletters every month, just to remind us, wow, we're in the 6 out of 7 in Australia who aren't being persecuted, but 1 in 7 Christians are being persecuted, so our hearts can go there. And I think it sobers us, doesn't it, Stephen? It helps us be thankful for what we've got here. And it might make us, you know, we look at our church sometimes, we go, oh, you know, the worship isn't that good, or the pastor's not good looking enough, or, you know, I'm only joking, of course, but, you know, we have these little criticisms about churches. And I think when you realize that there are people overseas literally just being persecuted for being a Christian, it probably makes us healthier Christians, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think the greater understanding does. And when you hear the stories, like on the website, there's stories you can click on, testimonials of people who have gone through persecution. And for some places, it's not illegal to be a Christian, but you can't share your faith with anyone. There's people in prison today because they chose to sing a Christian song on the steps of their church. You know, so we take it for granted. And so it does strengthen our faith when we can hear those stories and that we realize it's not us and them. We are one body together serving Jesus in different parts of the world. So, yeah.
Well said, Steve. Well, Steve Swenson from Open Doors, I want to thank you so much for joining us on 2020 today and giving us this update. And I want to encourage all of our listeners to get into their website, opendoors.org.au, to find out more and to stay in touch with what, you know, is happening in the church worldwide. And Steve, once again, thank you for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.